time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to begin reading with verse 46. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We have been studying now for a long time in the book of Genesis, enjoying the study. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I surely have, and I hope that you continue to stay with us as we enjoy this study. Genesis chapter 41, beginning to read with verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, went throughout all the land of Egypt, and in the seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of drought began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the drought was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look upon one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's ten brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Let's begin with prayer after reading God's precious word. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy this study. We just continue to look at this man, Joseph, and how that he has been in and out of prison by no fault of his. And we can see that it's a clear plan of God that he has to put him into the proper position. Let us follow your will and way always, even though it seems that it just can't work out to your benefit, Lord, or to ours, either one. We just can't imagine how this is going to work. Let us always serve you, study your word, pray to you, look to you, and just wait to watch you as you bring it together. And that's exactly what you will do, Lord, for those that know you as their Savior. I ask today, Father, as we begin this study, that there be not one person out there that's listening to this program today, Lord, not one that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. Well, I know, Lord, there is one, and there are probably many that have never come by faith to you. They do not have that personal relationship. That's the difference. A lot of folks in their head, they have a head knowledge of you, but they do not know you in their heart because they have never asked you in to their hearts for salvation, to be saved, to have their sins forgiven, to be set free. Many have the head knowledge, but they do not believe your word. They believe part of it. They take parts of it and forget parts of it. We have to take from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. Look at it, trust it, and know you, Lord, that you are our Savior. You are the only God. You are the Creator of the world. And if we'll come to you when you call us, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit can come when we hear the word. Now, we hear the word today, and that Spirit convicts their heart. Please, that they call upon you for salvation, Lord. Please, today, please, that all would come and be saved. And then, Father, we will grow in you closer and closer each day, that we may know you and serve you and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's so much fun to be in God's Word and to study it. No matter how busy we get, see that you never neglect the study of God's Word. And as we're studying through the book of Genesis here, and we're in the 41st chapter, why, we enjoy this man named Joseph, and what a time that he has had from the time that his brothers have thrown him in the pit, beat him up and threw him in the pit, and then decide to get a little money out of him, so they sold him, and then he was brought down into Egypt and sold to the captain of the army, and there he was for many years. We believe that in that period of time, probably about 13 years is how long that he had been in that position, probably a little less than that, because probably closer to 10 years, because there was a year that he was in prison by a false charge following his service to this man, to that the captain, the commander of the armies. And then we find that after there's a two-year period then, because we find in the beginning of this chapter 41, and it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river, and behold, there came up out of that river. And we have that dream, if you'll remember right, and we've been through it quite clearly to tell us that it is 7 years of plenty. I mean a harvest that they had never seen, 7 years of it. And then we have 7 years of famine that had never been seen before, ever. It had never been seen before. Joseph not only told this dream to Pharaoh, of which no one else could tell it, no one else knew at all what it meant, but Joseph did, and he didn't take the credit at all because he knew that he was not the one that was understanding it, but it was his God. God has showed Pharaoh in verse 25. And so we know that is without question that God is telling this, and even Pharaoh himself acknowledges that. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, and that's verse 39 of this chapter, we know that even this commander of all of Egypt, the president, whatever you want to call him as far as his position, he acknowledged that Joseph's God told him this. And so it's so important that we see the power of the God that we know. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know the true and only God, and I hope that you do. And as we look at this and enjoy and look at the study of this now, while we find that Pharaoh himself acknowledged that. So not only did Joseph tell the dream to Pharaoh, but also Joseph gave a plan to Pharaoh of what to do. And he said how much we are going to put back and we're going to save those 7 years. We're just going to keep saving this crop. And the scripture tells us in verse 34, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And so that would be 20%. And so you could call that a tax, you could call it whatever you wanted to, because Pharaoh went into every farm, every place, and he collected, he took 20%. And of that 20%, then, Joseph, and it turned out that because Joseph said, now you need to line up a man to do this, well, Pharaoh acknowledged that there was only one man that could do that, and that was this man named Joseph. And we find that in the verses of Scripture here close to that. Verse 36, and the food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now for Pharaoh to say that, unbelievable that Pharaoh would ever humble himself to say that. Well, if Pharaoh did, that's proof that there isn't a man or a woman today, or there's a young man or a young woman today, no matter how prideful they are, that if they will listen to God, God will call them and they can be saved and they can enjoy this precious time. Now, we have no acknowledgement that Pharaoh was saved here, but he does swallow his pride, and he sure had a lot of it. He swallowed his pride and he listened to this man, this Hebrew. He listened to him, this man named Joseph, and he decided that he was the best man, and he was no so discreet and wise as thou art. That verse 39, I am sure that's not a comment that Pharaoh ever made before and probably never made again. But he acknowledged it, and it's because God had shown him. Now, just be in prayer that the people that trouble us, the people, the leaders of our land, that we will be praying for them, that they will seek God's will and God's way, and they will follow it. And this man named Pharaoh, he was doing just that, not even realizing that he was following God's plan. He had no idea that he was part of God's plan. He didn't believe in God, but he did see what Joseph's God could do. So he acknowledged that he is so wise, and no one is wiser than thou. And thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So there's only one more that is in that position. And unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And then he gave him a bride. And that's Aseneth. And so we have his bride now. Joseph is married. And we find in the study that we're having today that one of the first things that's listed here. Joseph has two sons. Now we find in the 26th verse, and Joseph was 30 years old, so we know how old he was. He stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And the seven plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls. It just continued to come just exactly the way God said it would. And Joseph, in the wisdom that God had given him, held back 20%. And he didn't just put it all into Pharaoh's big storage in the land of Egypt there, where in the middle of where Pharaoh was at, that he gathered it up, all the food in the 7 years, this is verse 48, which were in the land of Egypt, and he laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. You look at the wisdom that God gave Joseph. He didn't just store this up in one big pile and just make bigger and bigger and bigger bins. He went into every city because, you see, the famine, he believed God that the famine was going to be a famine worldwide. And especially here in Egypt, it was going to be a terrible famine. And as we talked last time, in annual rainfall, a lot of times, in this area here is an inch. They depended upon the Nile River, the irrigation of the Nile, and the fertile Nile that it was. When it would overflow, it would fertilize all the land and raise such a tremendous crop year after year after year. And Egypt was known for the gods that they would bow down to. And you know, it's not going to be too long here when in the study of Exodus, as we look in the end of Genesis and into Exodus here, when Moses is so led to come and lead the people out. And you know all of the plagues that are brought up on this land and upon Pharaoh. It is against each one of the major gods in Egypt. And so we have so many, and one of them is the Nile, is the water of the Nile. It is life to them. And they know it, but they bow down to it as a god, instead of acknowledging the God that created it, that made it, and praising him. They turn those things, those places, into gods. Well, here we have, as the Nile is about to dry up, and there's going to be no water, and for 7 years there was plenty as before this started, and for the first year, Joseph went around to every city, and within that city, he stored up 20%. And then the next year, he stored up 20% again. And the third year, and the fourth year, and the fifth year, and the sixth year, and the seventh year, every year. And it tells us how much he gathered up here. And again, he put it in every city. Wherever the fields were at, that's where he gathered it into the city. Number one, it was an excellent plan because you're not transporting that grain all the way across the country to a central place. Plus, you are also realizing that where is the need going to be when the drought comes? It will be in every individual city. So he took the land, took the grain from each city, and he gathered it from each area around each city and gathered it into that city. The closest city got 20% of the grain that was there, stored in that city. It was Pharaoh's grain, but it was stored in each city. So 20% each year. And so as we look at that, you can see the beautiful crop and the storage that we have. And again, I told you, we are told how much. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering it, for it was without number. There was such a volume. You see, not only did it just get a 20% of an average year, God blessed that land, and that land could have produced, maybe it produced double what it usually did. Maybe it produced 50% more. But I know that when he gathered that 20% each year, that was way more grain. That 20% of those 7 years, that 20% was at least an equal year for that. And so as we look at this and we see the grain and how much it was, and the accountants, as Joseph would account for each of that fifth, that 20% as it would come, he got to where he couldn't even keep track of it anymore. He stopped numbering it. There was so much grain. Oh, look at the blessings of God and the plan of God. And unto Joseph was born, now we find in verse 50, was born two sons before the year of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. That means forgetting. For God, said he, this is Joseph speaking, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now you remember, sometimes I'm sure in your childhood you have much to remember. You know, some of it's exciting and fun and good as we were young, but some of it isn't. Some of the memories we have are difficult memories, very trying times, maybe through illness or through a hard time financially. It's hard to tell, but there could be so many things in our past, and especially in our younger years, that is wonderful things we remember, but some things they are not so good to remember. And Joseph, I am sure, always wondered about his father and his father's house. He had no thought, I guess, of going back. He really had no opportunity to travel back to Canaan. He was a slave, then he was in prison, and now he has been brought back out of prison and put into this high position. It's called a governor over here in verse 6. Joseph was the governor over the land. And so, as all this was put into place, everything was there now. Now he has a wife, Asenath. He gives birth to his first son, Manasseh. This boy named Manasseh now, by having a seed, someone to continue his name, all the past has been kind of put aside. And even to the point that he has forgotten puts his father's house in his past. You know, he wasn't very old when he left there. And so he has probably lived now. He is again as old or older than he was when he left his father's house. And so he has memories of that. But with everything that's in his life now, he has a bride and he has this position as governor over Egypt. And he also now has a son, Manasseh. And so we say that he made him forget. You know, as a child is born, the beautiful time as you hold that baby and love that baby. And Pharaoh here, it was enough to kind of forget his past. The name of the second was called Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You remember, he again went into Egypt as a slave. And so he had been beaten, and his coat of many colors had been torn, blood-dipped, and then as this just continues, his life just looked like it was terrible, and then he was sold into slavery. But God could even take that and lift him up. Put into prison, God lifted him up. Out of prison, God lifted him up. Each time, every place, wherever we may be at, God lifts us up. And so please, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please look to the only God, only true God. I mean, there are many gods in this world that people worship. See that you worship the true God, the Creator of this world, the God that is spoken of in this book, the Bible. Please look to that in His Holy Scripture. It's the only true book. Don't leave it. And you know how that I feel about the old King James. I want you to stay with the old King James. I want you to look up when you have a word that you question. Look it up into a Strong's Concordance. Look to the Greek or the Hebrew and see what it means. And you'll find many times that one word has many meanings. The English language is very difficult from going from the Greek or the Hebrew, either one, to translate it into to our English. There are not enough words to describe what those words mean, and so they place a word there in hopes that it was close. Well, it is very close, and the old King James is very close. But for you to do your study, not just read this book, but study this precious book to know the things of God, and have that old Strong's Concordance right next to you, and you look that word up if you have any question, because sometimes when this was recorded, it was so long ago that word had a different meaning possibly than what it does for us today. So look it up. Just take your time and look up each one of those words as you're studying three or four verses or a chapter, and know what those words mean. It'll really help you to understand. And it's just a joy to study God's Word. Here we find that Joseph, he is being blessed. Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Fruitful, that's what he believed. And the year, 7 years of plenteous, that was in the land of Egypt, ended. His two he married, and his two boys were born, and now the good years are over. He put so much grain in the bins around each city that he just stopped counting. That's how much grain that they had. What a plan this man had. Pharaoh allowed him to do that. Pharaoh believed in Joseph, in what he acknowledged again that it wasn't Joseph with this wisdom, it's Joseph's God. It should be the same way with us. When we are doing something and people wonder, you know, how wise, how can you be so wise if you're so young? And you hear a man or a woman will say that sometimes. Well, hopefully they don't just pat themselves on the back and says, yeah, I know I am. Instead of that saying, it's not my wisdom, it's God's wisdom. And we walk by his leadership and will. And that should be the answer of every believer in Jesus Christ today, that God will give us guidance and God will give us wisdom. The 7 years of good are over. The 7 years of drought begin to come. According as Joseph had said, boy, this is just coming to pass, isn't it? He said there would be 7 years of plenty, and there was. But then the seventh year is ended. So we know God's word is true, and it makes for Pharaoh to see that Joseph is true. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Sure there was. Because not only as they were storing this up, there was also the people, I believed, listened to this call, so they continued to have some. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, when they ran out of what they had, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. You know, today I'm afraid that if something like this was done so often, that money is stuck in somebody's pocket. And when the need is there, that man and that pocket is gone. So the money that was put forth for a good cause is no longer there to be used for that good cause when the need arises. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph did what Joseph said he would do. And Joseph did not take a little bit for himself or a lot for himself. We have no record of Joseph taking anything. Joseph stored this up for Pharaoh, for Egypt, and because it was God's plan. And we begin now. It says, go to Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. The famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. It just continued to worsen each and every day. And it got so bad, I mean, that it just was impossible to live if they had not had this provision. All the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that famine was so sore in all lands. It wasn't just in the land of Egypt where this happened. You see, God has a plan. And what I read in the 42nd chapter, chapter 42 there, the reason I wanted to read that's because that connects with this plan. It wasn't to save Egypt. It was to get Jacob and his sons down to Egypt. Boy, are they going to get a surprise when they see where this man named Joseph, their brother, is at. They have no idea where he's located. Well, they're going to find out here pretty shortly what a plan God has. It's just so exciting to see as God puts things together. But you know, many times when we're going through it, we can't see it. We just don't see what God has for us. It just is almost impossible many times for us to see how God could ever use that. We just can't imagine how he could use that. Well, Let's go back to this story of Joseph, and you look at that, and you can see how God can use anything he wants to get what he desires to have. And I'll tell you what, he desires to have your soul. He wants you to be a child of God. He is calling you today. He wants you to come today. I hope by this study that your heart is being pricked, that you just feel that calling and that tugging, because Jesus Christ is calling you. And so, as always, I ask this beautiful question, and that question is, what are you going to do about Jesus?